options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe.
Another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 declares, where the word of the king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? And again, when we speak of the word of the king in the English language, we speak of none other than the King James Authorized Version of 1611, that sharp two-edged sword that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it is officially Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, And on this edition of The Word of the King, we'll once again be getting into the topic of the atonement in our message. But before I have Brother Kenny start that message, I'm going to get into some things here and also share a little bit with you. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 2 a while. Now, I know in our previous editions, I started reading from Grace Abounding to the Chiefest of Sinners by John Bunyan, but we're going to forego that for this week. And I'm just going to get into prayer here. We're going to get into something here with Philippians 2 real quick. And safe to say, especially if you've been listening for any amount of time to the Word of the King, you know the websites and everything that I tell you about at the beginning. And, of course, Kenny will let you know in his own timing about how you can contribute to the ministry here at the Word of the King, as well as at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, Sowers of Seed, and Six Eyes Radio. So let me just open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into it with Philippians chapter 2. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, I thank you, dear Lord God, again, Lord, as we have another Yom Kippur that has come our way for the atonement, as it has been provided for by Yeshua Mashiach, his shed blood. And dear God, I pray, dear God, that even as he is risen from the dead and coming again, you would now, dear God, be honored and glorified through all that is said and all that is done on this edition of the Word of the King. And again, do lift up Brother Kenny, Sister Ruth, Brother Charles, and everybody at Six Eyes Radio to strengthen them all, dear God, in their labors for you. And also, for all the brothers and sisters listening, Lord God, Lord, that you would also, dear God, strengthen them in their labors for you, dear God, as well as those, dear God, that are not able to listen, Lord. For the entire body of Christ to abound in love for you and love for one another, and for any lost souls listening, that you would make them willing today, dear God, even as you empower in their lives, even as salvation is of you, the Lord, for it's in Jesus' name. Pray and give thanks. Amen. Now, Philippians chapter 2, we read of how the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we are exhorted in the very context of Philippians chapter 2. If you read down through, starting in verse 1, you'll see there we're exhorted to prefer others before ourselves. To prefer others before ourselves. And that means is we're to think of others before ourselves. We're to esteem others before ourselves. And it also says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, if you would please be in prayer for me and be in prayer for some others, okay? And if you're taking notes, if you have pencil and paper, pen, handy, paper, I would encourage you to write down these names. Of course, you know my name, Brother Timothy Gruber here. And also write down the following names. Chris, believers, themselves elders. Kristen, she's a sister in the Lord. And the Lord and I are having to confront them about some things, okay? And let me just say this. Whether you're an elder or not, okay, surely as you call yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me just tell you that if you are not willing to bear witness with some counsel that you give another brother or sister in Christ, if you're too much of a coward to bear witness to the fact that you gave that counsel, then, in all sincerity, and I say this in all brotherly kindness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should keep your mouth shut. Because right now, what's basically going on is this individual, Scott, he had given me counsel, and he had counseled me back in 2019 to take an interest in this sister, Kristen. And I would say she's a very godly young lady. And yet, when the time came for this brother Scott to bear witness with the very counsel that he gave me regarding this particular sister and how he had taken an interest in her, he refused and has refused up to this point to bear witness with that counsel. And what you need to understand, dear listener, is when you or anybody else gives somebody counsel in a particular matter, especially a matter like this, and you're not willing to, and the individual who gave you that counsel willing to bear witness to the counsel they gave you, or you're not willing to bear witness with the counsel that you concerning the counsel that you gave them, you can get the individual that you gave that counsel to into some very serious trouble. Now, not that I'm in serious trouble necessarily, but I'm just saying it can lead to that. But what it also does is it also gets others in trouble as well, okay? And I'll give you a prime example. This sister, Kristen, safe to say, all because this brother Scott was not willing to bear witness to the counsel that he had given her concerning me, or I'll be me concerning her and taking an interest in her, and he's not willing to bear witness to that counsel to her as he gave it to me, safe to say, she, as of now, is having evil thoughts about me that she would not otherwise be having. And likewise, in a similar situation, this elder Mike, this pastor Mike, had in his own way given me counsel regarding this one young lady back in the States by the name of Caitlin. And safe to say, to this day, he's not borne witness with any of that counsel to her either. And so she's been tempted to think evil thoughts about me that she would, safe to say, not otherwise be thinking. Because it's like this, when you give counsel to somebody regarding someone, it's like this, if that individual has any respect for you whatsoever and you tell that individual that you gave that other individual such counsel, that individual may have some different thoughts regarding that individual who took an interest in them. But if you're not willing to bear witness at all with that counsel, then that individual is liable to think that that individual, in this case myself, is just acting out of his own fleshy self-will with some kind of ulterior motive. And then what that does is that also sets up that individual. It shows their entertaining thoughts about that other individual. The Lord knows they should not be entertaining and are not true. That sets up that other individual to be chastened of the Lord. So, again, if you're not willing to bear witness with certain, with any kind of counsel that you give somebody else, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say with all brotherly kindness, you should keep your mouth shut. Because God himself even says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. Let everything be established by two or three witnesses. Now, again, be in prayer, though, because there's an email that I'm going to be sending out here, possibly within the next week, where I'm going to be confronting all these individuals about this very matter. Okay? So I appreciate your prayers on that. But getting back here and how this applies to the context of what I'm going to talk to you about here a little bit before we get into the message on Yom Kippur. Again, God says there in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. In the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, the problem with a lot of these guys and a lot of people, okay, and I want you to examine yourself, dear listener. Now, I can honestly say I've examined myself in this matter, and I can honestly say I don't have a reputation, and I don't want a reputation, and I don't need a reputation to live. All I need to live is the Lord Jesus Christ and his mind. But now let me ask you, dear listener, what say you? Do you need a reputation to live? Or is the Lord Jesus Christ and his mind sufficient for you to live? Now, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, again, I would encourage you to write down James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to make reference to verse 1. It says there in verse 1, brethren, beloved, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. In case you've ever wondered what it is that makes a person a respecter of persons, I'll share it with you now, even as the Lord himself shared it to me, or showed it to me. What makes a person a respecter of persons, and what makes a lot of these guys a respecter of persons as well that I'm dealing with, is their testimony, or their, howbeit, reputation, as they would call it, is based more upon the esteem of men than it is the esteem of God. Let me repeat that. What makes someone a respecter of persons, what makes individuals like these guys that the Lord and I are dealing with, in the context of this situation that I just shared with you and asked you to pray about, what makes such individuals a respecter of persons is that their testimony, or howbeit their reputation, as they would call it, is based more on the esteem of God. And dear listener, in case you did not know, we are not to have such a reputation in this present evil world. And our testimony, as we are to have, as believers in Yeshua and the Lord Jesus Christ, our testimony is not to be based upon the esteem of men, but our testimony is to be based strictly upon the esteem of God. When it says the Lord Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation, there in the context of Philippians chapter 2, what it's talking about is the testimony that he had, when it talks about him, for example, having a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, and so on, the testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he walked this earth, it was not based at all on the esteem of men, but it was based strictly 100% on the esteem of his Father in heaven. And this is one more reason why, in the context of where Peter, there, in Matthew chapter 16, I believe it is, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about his going to be crucified, Peter tried to stop him there in the context of the gospel there. You read. It says, Jesus looked back at him, said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things that be of men and not the things which be of God. You see, by nature, sinful man always seeks the esteem of men more than he does the esteem of his own creator. But as surely as the Lord Jesus Christ was the creator himself manifest in the flesh, he did not seek the esteem of men whatsoever. And his testimony was not in any way upon the esteem of men. And that's the more reason why, in the context of Isaiah 53, we read that it is written, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's all they esteemed him as. Simply stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And esteeming him is nothing more than stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Basically, all they esteemed him as was basically as any other criminal, you could say, that was crucified in that day. But again, his testimony was not based in any way upon the esteem of men. He didn't care about the esteem of men. He was all about the esteem of his Father in heaven. So, dear listener, what are you about? Are you all about the esteem of your Father in heaven? Or are you still concerning yourself with the esteem of men? Because what happens is this: when these guys, when anybody, male or female, okay, in this case, who calls themselves a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, when they start basing their testimony or their reputation, as they call it, more on the esteem of men than on the esteem of God, here's where they start picking and choosing whose esteem they want to forfeit and whose esteem they don't want to forfeit. And that's where they become respecters of persons, guilty of sin, and worthy of the chastening of God. So, that pretty much sums up that much in terms of what I wanted to get into on that point. But it's something you should seriously think about and meditate upon, dear listener, and examine yourself. Again, is your testimony... And I don't even like referring it at all to reputation at all, because again, Christ made himself no reputation. I just like using the word testimony. Is your testimony based at all on the esteem of men, or is it based strictly on the esteem of your Father in heaven? And now, as we get ready here to get into the message of Yom Kippur, before I hand it over here to Kenny, let me just conclude by saying this. The Word of God says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In Hebrew, the way you say to atone is lekaper, lekaper. And again, it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, payment. That word atonement means and implies a payment. And atonement, the word atonement, it's been summed up as at one with. So through the atonement, one is made at one with, reconciled with the Creator. And that by faith, and that by grace, through faith, and that not of oneself. 289, for by grace you say through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There in the first Pesach coming out of Egypt, when God told Moses, Father, to put the blood on the doorpost as he did. That blood, as it was put in the doorpost, if you check it out, it forms not only a cross, but it also forms a triangle, because ultimately, Elohim, the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, is plural, because he is triune. Abba, Ben, Ruach, HaKodesh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And Yeshua, of course, is Ben, the Son. And he, again, made himself of no reputation. And again, getting back a little bit to what I was just referring to earlier, dear listener, Jesus Christ himself said, he that hateth his life except the man take up his cross. He said, except the man take up his cross and hate his own life. That's how he said it. Except the man take a cross and hate his own life. He cannot be my disciple. I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. But it's like this. As surely as Jesus Christ commands us to take up our cross for him, and as surely as he commands us to hate our own lives, he also commands us to hate and lose our own reputations and have no reputation, even as he made himself of no reputation. And again, Revelation 21, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, a man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9 and Revelation 21, verse 8 declares, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as it is appointed unto man, once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God is dead, thou shalt be saved. So with that, I hand it now over to Kenny. And till next time, God bless you and yours.
And Brother Tim, real quick, a point that I wanted to make was the verse you were talking about when Peter was kind of rebuking Jesus, saying you shouldn't go to the cross. Right after Jesus had said to Peter, you know, it was God who gave him the saying, you know, when Peter says, thou art the Son of the living God, and Jesus said to him, well, it's not man that gives this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then when he laid out that he was going to end up going to the cross, Peter says, well, be that far from you, Lord. And what's interesting about that is we got a group here, a group, I won't mention names, but a church group, denomination, that does the same exact thing when it comes to sufferings. It'd be far from you, Lord. You ain't supposed to suffer. You got to be healthy, wealthy. You got to be healed. That you get sick, you got to be prayed over, and God will always heal you because according to Isaiah 53, his blood is for our healing. Sound familiar, Tim?
Oh, it sounds very familiar.
So, sounds familiar to Peter. It goes right back to him. But yet Christ said to Peter, be far from me, Satan. The spirit you have is not of God, but of men. So they need to go look at that story again and see where their spirit's coming from. So, all right, so here we go. We're going to get into the message, Yom Kippur. It's actually a two-part piece. We hope everybody enjoys, and we will be open for open mic at the end for any questions or comments anybody may have at the end of that. All right.
Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Bloom coming to you with another edition of The Word of the King. I will, by the grace of God, be in the Queens, New York City area. And it is officially that time of the year when the Jewish people celebrate their holy day, known as Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement. And we're going to talk some more about the blood during this broadcast here on the Word of the King. And I would just like to mention Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4, where the Word of the King is, there is power who may say unto him, what doest thou? And break the souls up here, Jew and Gentile alike, to repent towards God through faith, towards our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, who gave himself a ransom for all, payment for Jew and Gentile alike, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Before I get into the topic today here on the Word of the King, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have, dear God, come full circle once again to another Yom Kippur, another Day of Atonement, celebrated by the Jewish people, I'm reminded, dear God, of how the blood makes an atonement for the soul. And, Lord God, I pray for souls listening today, dear God. For those that have yet to receive the atonement, dear God, provided for by your only begotten Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be the day, dear God, whereby they come to know the payment. And they receive that payment, dear God, as their own, Lord God, so that they, dear God, would be washed white as the snow, cleansed of all sins, through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am you are, I pray that your Spirit would go forth, dear God, dealing with souls, dear God, in this edition of the Word of the King. And certainly, they are standing before you as transgressors of your holy law, your Torah, it said in Hebrew. And Lord God, I pray, dear God, that through the proclamation of your holiness, you would take your law and use it as a schoolmaster to draw souls to Messiah, Jesus, and the atonement that has been provided through his blood shed upon the cross of Calvary and his resurrection from the dead for our justification. And I thank you, Father, that he is seated at your right hand. And as I'm reminded of the promise in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save unto the uttermost and come unto you, the living God, by him. May souls come unto you, the living God, by Jesus Christ our Lord, even as a result of this broadcast today. And for those who were saved, dear God, and listening, Lord God, may they, as a result of this broadcast, be provoked to all the more go forth, walking in all manner of holiness and godliness, as they, dear God, find themselves all the more thankful at the remembrance once more of what a great sacrifice was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. I read here in the King James Bible concerning this matter of atonement, payment, and the blood. In verse 10 of Leviticus 17, I will start. And whatsoever man there be in the house of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you, eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Verse 12. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Verse 13. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. Verse 14. It is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now, when we consider this, God said in verse 14, speaking of the blood, it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. This is another reason why we know of a certainty that when Jesus said what he said in St. John chapter 6, Jesus said this in St. John 6, there at the Passover prior to his being nailed to the cross as our ultimate Passover lamb, there at the Last Supper, he said this, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, I in him. Now we know of certainty that when Jesus said this, he was not telling his followers to literally drink his literal blood, like the Roman Catholic cult teaches with her tradition of man known as the Mass, transubstantiation. No. Jesus would never encourage his followers to literally drink his blood when, as the God of Moses, he condemned it. Here in Leviticus 17, verse 14, again it is written, it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And again, Jesus said in the context there, St. John 6:63, it is the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, Jesus in St. John 6, in the context of speaking of men eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he was speaking spiritually, symbolically, not literally Roman Catholic. But again, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God, in the context of the Exodus coming out there of Egypt, he made it very clear the priority of the blood on the doorpost. He made it very clear. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It reminds me of the hymn. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Does God see the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon you when he looks down on you? Are you trusting in the blood of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your atonement for sin? We're told in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified, that means stand before God just as if I never sinned. Here in Exodus chapter 12, we read of the Passover being instituted, starting in verse 12. The Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses which ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you, to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And so, we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile alike, in this time, this dispensation, we have our remembrance of the Passover. Obviously, the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that ordinance known as communion or the Lord's Supper. And we're reminded of how God and his love bestowed upon us. He sees the blood of the lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon each one of us as believers. We as believers, having received by faith the atonement which was provided through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. We're told, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, that sinneth not. And so, sin demands a payment. We're told in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're told in the letter 1 John, John writing under inspiration of God, he writes, but if we are in the light as he, God, is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The sacrifice of Messiah is prophesied, laid forth in the book of Daniel. Chapter 9, it is written, verses 25 to 27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, talking about in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, unto the Messiah the Prince, speaking of Jesus, Yeshua, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And yes, those were troublous times when those Jews, those children of Israel and Judah came out of Babylon and Syria, respectively. Verse 26 of Daniel 9, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and at the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now look at that. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. We're told in St. John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, and gave thee power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And in verse 11 of St. John 1, it is written, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, coming to the Jewish people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so after 62 weeks, the Messiah was cut off out of the land of the living, according to the prophet Isaiah, it's written in Isaiah 53. But not for himself. Isaiah makes it very clear. For the transgression of his people, he, Messiah, Yeshua, was stricken. Messiah, Jesus, stricken for the transgression of his people. We're told in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we that sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise be to God, the same Lord. Overall, is rich unto all that call upon him, both Jew and Gentile. But there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Messiah, shall not be condemned, shall not be ashamed, we're told. And it says in Daniel 9, 26, and the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, that is speaking of the Roman armies, that prince, Titus, and his Roman armies, sacking Jerusalem around 69, 70 AD, it's estimated. And the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Desolations, scatterings, there's the scattering of the Jewish people. Again, around 69, 70 AD, in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem, at the hands of the Roman armies. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. But for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured out upon the desolate, the scattered. So, let's look at the Torah, it's called in Hebrew. Let's consider the law, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ, put it this way. He said the first and greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting to make me the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Again, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Peter declared in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you were looking at any God other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he came down and humbled himself as a servant, the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're looking at any other God besides him, then the one you call God is not God. And you are condemned as an idolater before God. And all idolaters, we're told in Revelation 21:8, have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The idolater shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Behold, you were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. And I consider, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You may not be bowed down to a statue of Buddha or a statue of Mary. And by the way, you ought not be bowed down to statues of Jesus either. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We walk by faith, not by sight. But again, you may not be bowed down to statues of Buddha, Mary, or any of the gods of the Hindu world, or any other so-called God that the devil has provided simple man with. But how many of you listening bow down to the image that you see when you look in the mirror every day? You're guilty of worshiping and serving yourself as the creature more than the creator, God who is blessed forever. You're just as much an idolater. You're just as much an image worshiper. Receive Jesus Christ, fullness of the Godhead bodily, and receiving him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, receive the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We're told that these three are one. In the book of 1 John, and again, the book of Romans, it is written, speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but with strong faith, giving glory to God. May you be strong in faith, listener, giving glory to God. And like Abraham, may you be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, as God, was able also to perform. Verse 22 of Romans 4. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And you have the righteousness of God imputed to you, dear listener, and by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. We're told in Romans 4:23. Now it was written, not for his sake alone, again, speaking of Abraham, but it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Verse 25, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then you jump down to Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Jesus, much more than being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement. And you say, you're listening, that you joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ as one who has indeed received the atonement, the payment provided for by him, his shed blood. We're told book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22. And we know that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, or without shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission, no forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, of the Spirit of our God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We're told in the book of James, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. We're told that adultery is one of them. Marriage is spoken of as being honorable in all. And again, for you effeminate, for you abusers of yourself with mankind, sodomite, homosexual, in the beginning God made Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam and Steve. He did not make Molly and Eve. I tell you, neighbors, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We're told in Peter's one epistle, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. We're told righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And sin is indeed a reproach to the United States of America before a holy God. We're told that the wicked should be turned into hell, and all the nations forget God, and America is no exception to that law. Thou shalt not kill. Have you ever had an abortion, dear listener? At your local Planned Parenthood or other butcher mill, they call it an abortion clinic. Abortion is murder. God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. You have been a partaker in murder. You who have had an abortion listening to this. You need the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse you from all sin. And even as you call upon him to wash you from all your sins and make you whiter than snow, your very body, dear listener, will become the temple of God, the Holy Ghost. You will have God dwelling in you. You will have life in you more abundantly here and now, and that eternal, and that which is to come. And this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do the corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, praise be to God. Are you ready for this? Dear listener, this is coming. Verse 51, behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can you say, dear listener, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you have Jesus Christ, his spirit, abiding inside of you, you can say that, dear listener. If you can't say that, may you seek the Lord, or may be found, may you call upon him while he is near. We're told, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You profess to be a Christian, yet you're not reading your Bible. You have no desire to read your Bible. You're not praying. You have really no desire to pray. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You call yourself a Christian, but you have no desire to do the will of God? You're deceiving yourself as one deceived by the father of lies, who is the devil, Satan. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless that taketh his name in vain. To use the name of Jesus Christ, to use the name of God loosely, it's a cuss word, or even to sing it Sunday morning in your hymnal or during your worship, yet have your mind on the football game, or what you're going to have for lunch. Those are all ways that you use the name of God loosely in a way that is empty, and it's blasphemy. And all blasphemers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, according to Revelation 21:8. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Thou shalt not steal. You take anything that does not belong to you, the value is totally irrelevant. You take something that does not belong to you without permission, it's stealing, sin. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Again, all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them is, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Point, make time for God. He's worthy of your submission, listener, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone to deliver you from the power and the wages of sin, which is death, and to be your personal Lord and Savior, to walk with, to talk with daily, desiring to be like him, conformed to his image, to have the meekness that he has, to have the humility that he has, but you will certainly never be God as he is God. Beware of the Mormons. They're liars. They're their father, the devil. Oh, but you are going to be conformed to his image, Christian. And all who believe on his name. We're told, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone, continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law, do them. Oh, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust by now, dear listener, you're saying, sir, what must I do to be saved? Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For it is written, in whom, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Revelation chapter 1. And we will now conclude with the word of the king with this verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This has been the word of the king. Till next week, this is Evangelist Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours. Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you yet again with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? Today on the Word of the King, we are going to be having yet another message concerning the blood, the atoning blood that has been provided for us as sinners in the person of Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, Mashiach. And we're told in the book of 1 John, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. And Jesus made it very clear in St. John 10 when he said, I and my Father are one. But the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby you would be edified and exhorted as believers to go forth all the more thankful for the great atonement that's been provided for you in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're listening and you're not a believer, may you please continue. Don't change that channel. Continue to listen. And I will point you, by the grace of God, to the ultimate atonement that has been provided for us sinners in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life poured out at that place called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. I would now have a word of the word of the King. I would now have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, I come to you, and I ask you, Lord God, to please be glorified in this message, Lord God, as another Yom Kippur Shabbat has concluded by now. Lord, we pray, dear God, that more of the Jewish people, dear God, would come, and that they would be willing to be gathered of Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, even as Jesus said that he was willing to gather them as a hen doth gather her chickens. And yet they would not. in his day, and how many of the Jewish people to this day, dear God, they still will not be gathered by their Messiah, Yeshua. We give you thanks, dear Lord God, that there is coming a day when the Jewish people as a nation will be gathered, where they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And in the meantime, dear Lord God, help us as believers to continually, every day, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to look upon him whom we, by our sins, have pierced. And for those that are listening and do not yet know the salvation of the Lord through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, may they, as a result of this program, by faith, look unto Jesus. May they look unto him whom their sins and their iniquities have pierced. And may they mourn, declaring their iniquity, being truly sorry for it, forsake their own way, and to trust in you, Lord, and you alone, which in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. We read, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." Verse 12. "Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood." Verse 13. "Whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or the stranger that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust." Verse 14. "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." So, we see the instituting here of the Day of Atonement in the book of Leviticus. And again, I would remind you, something good to point out to your Jewish friends, dear listener, and if you happen to be Jewish listening to this, something that I would point out to you, the blood of the doorpost. Think about how God told Moshe, our fathers, I say our fathers because I myself am Jewish, think about how God told Moshe and our fathers there, the Exodus from Egypt, to put the blood on the doorpost, to spare the firstborn from the death angel. Think about how God told them to put that blood on there. It forms a cross. Because the Lamb of God, God manifest in the flesh, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, shed his blood as the ultimate kippur, the ultimate atonement. It was our ultimate Passover, Pesach. For sin, he shed his blood in the form of a cross. Some excellent symbolic statement being made there. God was saying that he was going to come down as a lamb, even as that lamb there in the book of Exodus, as it's written, its blood was placed upon those doors in the form of a cross. God was saying he was going to provide himself a lamb, just like our father Abraham said to Isaac, for a burnt offering. He was going to do so in the form of a cross. His blood, his life, was going to be poured out. Now, like we said in the last edition of the Word of the King this past Friday, the fact that the consuming of literal blood is forbidden here in Leviticus 17 in the context which we just read. Again, verse 14 of Leviticus 17, "For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." This is one more reason, as we stated in the last edition of the Word of the King this past Friday, that we know for a fact that when Jesus Christ said this in St. John 6, verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." When Jesus said that, we know for a fact that he was not encouraging his followers to drink his blood literally, as taught in that tradition of man known as the Roman Catholic Mass and Transubstantiation. No. He would not encourage his followers to do such a thing when he is the God of Moses in the very law of Moses in the book of Leviticus, forbidden. And even the Apostle Paul, it's written in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul and the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ made it very, very clear that it was a good thing to abstain from fornication and from drinking of blood, among other things. So, literal blood was not supposed to be drank back in the days of Moses. Literal blood is not supposed to be consumed now in this New Testament dispensation. and it never was supposed to be consumed. So you're listening to your Roman Catholic, beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, and let go of your vain traditions of men. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom, a payment for all to be testified in due time. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Again, considering at the conclusion of another Yom Kippur, another Day of Atonement, that Jewish High Holy Day. Verse 11 of Hebrews 9. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13. For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, satisfied the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14. How much more for the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. And even so, I'm reminded of how the Lord Jesus Christ declared, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We're told in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. When we look up just a couple of verses, verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament talked of the law of Moses, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, verse 19, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled with the book. Broke the book and all the people, saying, verse 20, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Verse 21, moreover he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So certainly, the blood was given a great preeminence, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. And even as Christ Jesus, as head of the church, again, Christ Jesus, according to the book of Colossians, is the head of the church, not the Pope, Roman Catholic. Again, may you depart, may you come out from the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. May you touch no longer the unclean thing. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church, even as he is worthy of all preeminence. So, the blood which he shed is to be given preeminence in the preaching of the gospel, because ultimately, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. If we know that Christ Jesus, our Lord, hath sanctified us through the offering of his body once for all, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, as it is written, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, verse 11. And every priest gives daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, verse 13, from henceforth expected to his enemies be made his footstool, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Again, we see the book of Hebrews exposing over and over the falsehood, again, of the Roman Catholic Mass and the whole tradition of man that says Christ is offered sacrificially over and over again every time the priest performs transubstantiation and supposedly calls Christ down from out of heaven. It causes Christ to appear before men once more in the form of what they call the Eucharist. Again, it is written, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's very clear. It's very clear, dear listener. Christ was offered once. He appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Have you received, dear listener, are you Jew, are you Gentile? Have you received the atonement, the payment provided for you by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, Messiah, once and for all? If not, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And may you know salvation, which is of the Lord. May you know what it means to become an ambassador for Jesus Christ, testifying of his goodness, his grace. According to Titus 3:5, we're told, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, the law is a schoolmaster. The purpose of the law was to teach us as a schoolmaster our need for the atonement, for the payment for sin that could only at the last be provided for by the sinless sacrifice of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in the book of 1 Peter, turn over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Read verse 2 verses here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice, listener, especially if you're Roman Catholic, Peter's confession. He didn't say anything about being a pope. And you can't claim apostolic succession just because he called himself an apostle, because Paul himself was an apostle. John himself was an apostle. James himself was an apostle. There were other apostles besides Peter. So him calling himself an apostle of Jesus Christ is by no means him confessing that he was a pope. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter doesn't say anything about being a vicar of Christ, like the modern Pope Francis or any other pope would have claimed. No. But verse 2, he says, he writes, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There it is, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You do need to be sprinkled, dear listener, but it's not with water. It comes from a spigot, from a well, or any other source whereby physical water may flow. No, you need to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Read down verse 17. Peter writes under inspiration of God, and if ye call the Father who without respect of persons judging, according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. There it is, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world but was manifest in these last times for you, verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Romans 10:9, we're told that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Adonai Yeshua, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember, wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Turn over to Galatians, chapter 5. Turn over to Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5, we read of the works of the flesh. Remember, the flesh is a reference the sinful, adamant nature that every one of us inherited from Adam. And the way you know that you have a sinful nature that you inherited from Adam, the way you know, dear listener, that you Jew or Gentile, that you were shaped in iniquity and you were conceived in sin, it's because your mom, your dad, didn't have to teach you how to do wrong. No. They had to teach you how to do right. They didn't have to teach you how to do wrong because the desire for wrong, the desire for sin was already implanted within you. The Bible calls the source of that the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, lawlessness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you, time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, before I come back here, by the grace of God, and dwell on this matter of the works of the flesh some more, turn to the book of Hebrews one more time, chapter 10. I want to just elaborate or comment one more time here concerning the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as established in the Torah, as it's called in Hebrew, the law. Verse 10, we read, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But back to verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer, year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2, but then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But on those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Hence, verse 5, we're told, wherefore, when he, speaking of Jesus, as God manifest in the flesh, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, do thy will, O God. And again, when you're in Christ Jesus, when you're born again, washed in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, as a child of God, you're truly one of his. You will, like Jesus, desire to do the will of God. If you don't desire to do the will of God, and you call yourself a Christian, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Do you not, except Jesus Christ be in you, you're reprobate? Reprobate. Worthless, no use for righteousness before God. Now, because Jesus, the Messiah, has offered his body as a sacrifice for sins once for all, we have now have him as our high priest. We no longer have any dealings with earthly priests. Be they Jewish, be they Roman Catholic, we have no dealings any longer with earthly priests. For again, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, as a result, we have the new covenant. Thanks to this eternal offering by the eternal God, come down as a man and yet fully God, we have a new covenant whereby our sins are eternally forgiven, no longer to be remembered against us. It is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Actually, start in verse 15. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also was a witness to us, for after that he said, 4, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So again, the Holy One of Israel, God of Israel, allowed, Jewish listener, our temple to be destroyed in 69, 70, 80. The genealogies of the priesthood to be totally, totally trashed, so to speak. Can't find them because there's no more need for an earthly temple. There's no more need for an earthly priesthood. Jesus Christ is now our high priest. Your body, dear listener, is now to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the living God. But you must repent and believe on Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in him alone, trusting no longer in your own righteousness, which are as filthy rags. And your sins and iniquities will be remembered against you no more. That is good news. Again, concluding now, winding down on the word of the king, turn back to Galatians chapter 5. And we discussed the works of the flesh here. First one, adultery. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, ye shall not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He went on to say, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Again, dear listener, you look with lust in your heart towards an individual of the opposite sex. That is equal to adultery before a holy God. And you will answer for that adultery. Fornication. Again, fornication, sex outside of marriage. That just doesn't include, not only does it include fornication between man and woman, but also sexual acts between man and man, woman and woman, sodomy, fornication, homosexuality is included in that. Hence it is written, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Uncleanness. That's a broad term there to be defined and described by many acts. I can't help but think of the way the sodomites, the homosexuals, have their golden showers, as they call it, where they piss and they urinate all over one another. Talk about uncleanness. There's one example for you. Lasciviousness, lawlessness. Again, many acts described by that. Really, any rebellion against the law of God, any willful continuing in that which you know is sin against God is lasciviousness, idolatry, worshiping of false gods. Covetousness is defined as idolatry in Paul's one letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, for ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance of the kingdom of God and of Christ. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Witchcraft, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, we're told. Hatred, variance, always trying to be at odds with people for no cause. Always looking to just cause trouble without a cause. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders. You say, well, I never murdered nobody. We're told envies is the rottenness of the bones. Unholy jealousy, all because your neighbor has something you don't. You nevertheless covet in your heart. Murders. The word of God says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer, and you know it's no murder. Have eternal life abiding in him. Have you conducted an abortion, or have you given your baby over to the abortionist, dear listener? You have partaken in murder. The shedding of innocent blood, God hates drunkenness. The drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelings. Striking one another. Physically attacking one another. Malice. Desire to harm your neighbor. And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember, sin is the transgression of the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Honor thy father and thy mother, that days may be long upon the Lamb which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Then there's blasphemy, taking God's name in vain. Indeed, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, and sinneth not. But praise be to God, Christ, Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, was made a curse. He was made sin, so that you, dear listener, might be made the righteousness of God in him. And yet all the while, Jesus made sin, yet without sin. Indeed, without controversy, great is the mystery. God is manifest in the flesh. May you believe on him. Dear listener, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said to those who rejected him in his day, he will not come unto me that you might have life. Oh, dear listener, come unto Jesus and you will have life today. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Call upon him now and God Almighty will be faithful to manifest himself inside your mortal body. In Jesus' name I praise his name. This has been the word of the King. Till next week, God bless you and yours.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
And if you wish to get a copy of this program or any other program here at the Success Radio Network, you could get that by, first off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, you go on your smartphone or tablet to the podcast section and enter in the search box Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Click enter, and then once you have us pop up there, click subscribe. You also, if you have a Android or Apple device, download the iHeartRadio app. That is iHeartRadio. Once you've downloaded that, then you do the same procedure by going to your iHeartRadio app, then typing in the search box of iHeartRadio, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio. Click enter. When we pop up there, then click subscribe, and you'll have us on your Apple or Android device. If you wish to make a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are several methods. First off, remember, it does cost us quite a bit to keep these shows on the air, but it may be free for you to listen to. We would appreciate a donation from you. And first off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal. Enter the email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S digit number 6 at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S digit 2 digit 4. Again, $SIX. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. If you wish to send a check or money order, Brother Six, at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com, in your subject line, put donation information requested, and in the body of your email, just explain that you wanting to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need the pay-to and snail mail information for sending a check or money order. Now, if you wish to help Holiness Bibles for the Blind, we are in that time that we are trying to raise right now $300 to keep our website going and ministry expenses going. We have a need by January to raise those funds. So if you will, we would appreciate a donation. So go to Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. Once you're on there, go straight down the homepage to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. You could use your credit card to pay and give your donation. If you wish to use PayPal, you enter the email address on PayPal, digit 2, F-O-R, digit 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com, 2-for-1, Katie, at gmail.com. And you could just enter the information of website would be appreciated so we know that your donation is for the website. If you wish to send a check or money order, just send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. And if you wish to send a donation to Tim Groover, go on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind .org website, click Sow the Seed Ministries, and go right down that page, and you'll find a Love Offerings link there, and you'll be able to use your credit card and send a donation to Brother Tim. Amen. All right, for the Word of the King and all the staff here at the Success Radio Network, we say God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow for the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Success Radio Network and the Success Gospel Bus at 7 p.m. Eastern. God bless everybody.